Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Scream 7. Long-awaited Scream 7. Been wanting to talk about this friggin' thing. I mean, ever since like Neve Campbell came back into the mix, we were interested about this. But we'll talk all about it. Directed by Kevin Williamson, written by Kevin Williamson, Guy Busick, and James Vanderbilt. Starring Neve Campbell as Sydney Prescott slash Evans, Courtney Cox as Gail Weathers, and Isabel May as Tatum Evans. The plot of the movie is when a new ghostface killer emerges in the town where Sydney Prescott slash Evans has built a new life, her darkest fears are realized as her daughter becomes the next target. But first, Corey, true horror story. Looked in the mirror this morning, my beard, an absolute nightmare. Dry, wild, looked like it clawed its way out of a crypt.
That's terrifying, man. Did you hit it with that beard octane?
Oh, yeah. Beard wash, conditioner, beard oil brought it back from the dead.
Fellas, don't let your beard turn into a creature feature. Keep it alive and kicking with Beard Octane.
And right now, hit beardoctane.com. Use code 30screams10. Get 10% off. Save some cash and save your beard from becoming a horror show.
Bad beard day? We've had plenty. Beard Octane's the fix. We swear by it.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Scream 7?
Uh-oh. Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
You're grinding your teeth? What do you mean?
Sometimes I feel like it.
Oh, no. Here we go. Go for it.
It was fine. And when I say fine, I mean it's comfortably near the bottom of my ranking for the entire Scream franchise.
Yep.
Three being the worst, and this might be right behind it. Nothing about it was offensively bad, but nothing really elevated it either. My biggest issue is that they made absolutely no attempt to hide who the killers were, and the reveal was fucking terrible. Like, that whole third act, just flushed that shit down the toilet.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw my face as I'm watching it. It was pure confusion. I was just like, huh? I'm like, that's the twist.
Yeah, and then every single time one of these killers was on screen, and I mean, we expect multiple because that's just how it is, right?
Right.
So every time one of us on screen without the Ghostface costume, it felt painfully obvious.
Mm-hmm.
The mystery element, which is kind of the whole point of Scream, just wasn't there this time.
No, it really wasn't. I mean, I liked the beginning. That beginning started off with a bang.
It was fine. I mean, obviously we got there just a couple minutes late, so I don't really know, like we missed the first like 3 or 4 minutes of the movie, so I don't know exactly what we missed. It was cool to be back in the Mocker house, like for that and a whole nostalgia thing, but like it's just two randos just exploring the house.
Yeah, two randos exploring the house. However, there were some background shit, and you know I love that.
I know. I don't know if you heard me, but I looked over to Joanne and I'm like, is Steve okay? There's background shit. Because you can see there's a lot of scenes where you can see in the background, you can see the Ghostface mask in the dark. Just the outline. It's very faint, which really cool touch. But
yeah, I love it.
It ended up being just a fucking prank. Her boyfriend decided to try and pull on her.
Yeah.
Like and freak her out because she's already terrified because there's a fucking AI Ghostface in the house or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the one, like, not well, AI Ghostface. Well, we'll get into the AI portion of it because that's a big, like, idea around this whole movie. And so when you say AI Ghostface, you're not talking about the fucking stand-up animatronic of him, are you?
Yes.
Oh, you are? Okay.
The one in the house that, like, it and I saw it. Right at the second it turned, like, you see its head turn, right? And it's following that guy's hand and he's got it in front of it. And it's following his hand. I'm like, it's just totally like some sort of camera or drone type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then like fast forward like 5 minutes later and it moves again, but it moves differently.
Yeah.
And it ends up being Ghostface, like the real one.
Now, let me ask you this. Did this scene need to happen?
No, it didn't. And that's another big gripe that I had with this movie, because like 80% of this entire opening scene was in the trailer.
Yep.
And her falling on the knife, the house burning down. I'm pretty sure there was a quick walkthrough of the house too in the trailer. The people that edited these trailers together for this movie need to fucking be fired, because all the best parts were in the trailer.
Yeah, the way I see it, this beginning didn't really need to happen solely because the shit would have gone down anyways, like without it. I mean, you had Sydney, who's used to getting prank calls by people, and she gets a call from someone claiming to be Stu, and she's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's funny, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like a FaceTime, and it's Stu Mocker. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, okay, this could be interesting. I'm wondering if he's like actually back, or if it's something different entirely. So the idea was being thrown around that it was like, oh, it's probably AI. Stu's definitely dead. We buried him. He's not freaking coming out of his grave.
That's another thing. Like, you see this whole AI thing for the very first time when Sydney is in her coffee shop, right? And she's in the back room and she gets that call. They made no effort from that point forward to hide that it wasn't actually Stu.
Yeah.
It was AI from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't this big twist at the end that Stu was, it was the AI. No, they talked about it for a whole hour and a half that Stu was AI.
You know what would have been amazing is, oh God, I don't want to give away the ending. I don't think I'm going to talk about this. I think this is something you and I will have to sidebar on, because we don't want to give away the twist ending, because there are people that are going to be excited to see this.
What twist?
The twist. So
what? There was no twist.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, we knew
the biggest twist was there was no twist.
Yeah. Well, okay. They pretty much just gave it away right away. I mean, it's pretty safe to say you know who the killers are, because they're actually known actors playing fucking mediocre roles.
So it's funny you bring that up, because you and I discussed this on the ride back from the movie. Actually, the three of us did. Mm-hmm. When the big reveal happens, like you said, there were big name actors. So you have these big name actors that show up on screen for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you never see them again.
Yep.
And who the fuck are the killers going to be? You're not going to have these big name actors in here and have them on screen for 2 minutes.
Right.
Although, McKenna Grace.
Oh, yes. I love this death.
This was the best part of the whole movie. But back to what I was saying about big name actors, McKenna Grace is a pretty big name, right?
Yeah.
She's been in a ton of stuff. Well, she was barely in this fucking movie.
Yeah. They were really building this almost around her.
Yeah.
You know, with her doing vocals for the Einstein Kills video,
yeah.
and her doing all the, like, the press and everything for this. And she was in this movie for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, I don't quite understand. Like, it could have been someone else in that particular role.
Yeah.
Have McKenna do something else. Like, they could have made McKenna Nev's daughter or Sydney's daughter. Like, Tatum Evans did a great job.
Same, yeah.
But I think McKenna Grace could have had a bigger role.
Yeah. I do enjoy some of the kills in this movie, at least. I mean, that was a great one, you know, with her swinging and the knife. Fantastic. So,
I love this. We both know that I love torture.
Yeah.
And this particular scene, yeah, McKenna Grace is doing her, like, what is it, like, stage play type thing?
Yeah, like, I called it trapeze, but it's not trapeze. It's like a harness. She's on a harness. Yeah.
And she's, like, suspended in air, and she can't go anywhere, and Ghostface is fucking with her. Like, she's swinging back and forth.
Swinging back and forth.
And whichever person is inside that costume, every time McKenna's character gets near Ghostface, he takes a stab at her and, like, slashes her somewhere.
Yeah.
And he's doing it slowly. And I don't know, like I said, it's definitely that torture. I think it's a torture thing. Whoever was in the costume was fucking with her.
Yep.
And then eventually just gets her in the stomach.
Yeah. I don't know, like, which of the two it was. I have a feeling I know which one was which for the bar kill. Like, the kid getting his head dropped on a beer. What the hell's it called? You know this word.
It was a beer tap.
Thank you. Beer tap. Yeah. So I'm also thinking to myself as I'm watching that kill, it's very absurd, but how on earth did that beer tap hold the weight of someone's entire body?
Movie magic.
Movie magic. Yeah, there's some movie magic in this movie. So they did try to at least throw audience off a little bit, thinking like, oh, it's the daughter's boyfriend that's behind it. And they make it seem like that, because there's a scene where it's like, oh, he's a computer guy and he's doing some fuckery with green screen and shit. So you see that, right? Mm-hmm. You think, okay, maybe he's the one that's actually doing it, or maybe he's involved or whatever. I thought they gave it away right away, like super quick. But then I was thinking to myself, that doesn't make sense. Also, we didn't even talk about this. There's technically three Ghostface in this movie. Technically. Remember like the one at the very beginning? Oh, you don't remember, do you?
Oh, yeah, the guy from the mental institution.
Yeah, which is, that's the giveaway right there, actually. So, yeah, the guy from the mental institution who we see him briefly in the coffee shop. Sydney owns a coffee shop, by the way. So we briefly see him in the coffee shop. He gives her, like, this ominous look. And then we eventually see the entrance of Gale Weathers by her running this guy over with a car.
That was a pretty cool reintroduction to Gale Weathers.
Yep.
And those other two characters from the last, couple movies?
Yeah, the last couple. Definitely Scream 6, that I know. Scream before that, I believe so as well. But Mason Gooding, he dropped this line that was hysterical. I was like almost laughing out loud in the theater trying to hold back my friggin' laughter. Because he's like, well, I didn't expect to roll up and commit manslaughter. I was like, yeah, okay, that's good. I like that. Nice little joke. I enjoy a little comedy in my horror. And we've talked about this. So comedy and horror just go hand in hand sometimes.
They do. And that's one thing that the Scream franchise, I feel, has leaned on for the past 30 years. Yes, 30 years this year.
30 years. Right? Damn. Wow.
But I feel like they forced it a lot in Scream 7.
Yeah, you think so?
They tried to force the jokes.
Hmm. So it didn't like come naturally. I mean, that one felt natural because he was just, you know, this guy has been stabbed and all sorts of stuff a bunch of times. So now he's at this point where he's like, I've been through all this shit. I guess might as well commit manslaughter. As I thought it was funny. It was a good joke. But yeah, they do rely on that heavily in this movie. And whatever, you know, horror fans like comedy movies. It comes with the territory. So they have to throw that in. You know, I think they just have to do that these days in movies. They have to make sure they're throwing in comedy as much as possible.
Like I was saying, like Scream is, that's been one of their things for the past three decades. And then it's always kind of self-aware, making fun of itself. Mm-hmm. Like it's a slasher movie and you have that scene again in this one with, what's her name? Mindy.
Mindy, yeah.
Right? And she's talking about the slasher genre.
Yep.
Bringing up other slasher movies.
Yeah, and I love when they do that. It's almost, it's not breaking the fourth wall, but it's like pulling the curtain back. Like,
yeah, it's like a movie within a movie kind of thing. And that's how it's always been, exactly. I feel like, with Scream.
Yeah, it's always been like that, where they talk about the movie and they go, this is, like, what was it, in Scream, not Scream 6, the newly updated Scream, I'm going to call it Scream 5, fuck it. So Scream 5, they were making the references to there being, it's not a reboot, it's not a sequel, it's a requel. Yeah, so yeah. It's like a reboot / sequel. It's like you bring in the old actors or whatever, and that's what they were bringing up in Scream 5. So yeah, they like to talk shit like that, you know. They like to bring up movie aspects and tie it all together and things like that. I mean, we're preaching to the choir here. I'm assuming that anyone listening to us has seen a Scream movie.
Yeah, you talk to any horror fan or anyone that claims to like horror movies, they've seen a Scream movie.
Yeah, I actually have known someone that did not see Scream, and I was like,
no. Was a horror fan?
Not so much, but
okay.
So, I mean, it's fine if you're not a big horror fan, but if you're a big horror fan, it's like a movie you have to see.
Mm-hmm.
Scream is like a requirement. It should be on the top 10 lists of horror movies you need to watch.
Yeah, especially the first one.
Exactly. First
like
one.
Like, nothing is ever as good as, the first, in this whole franchise, nothing will top the first movie ever.
No. But did you see that other than Scream 7 being the lowest rated Scream movie of the whole franchise on Rotten Tomatoes, Scream 2 was actually scored higher
than
Scream.
Than 7?
Than 1. I should have clarified there. Scream,
wait, Scream 2 is higher than...
Than Scream 1.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, look it up. I was like, no fucking way. I'm calling malarkey on this.
Scream 1. Scream.
Yeah, type in Scream and then do Scream 2.
All right, so Scream, 78%, Scream 1. Scream 2, 83.
How? How?
3, 45.
Yeah.
4, 61. 5, mm-hmm. 77.
Yep.
6, 76. And you know what 7 is? Off the top
low.
Of your head?
It's like 34.
31.
Oh, damn. It's gone down. Yikes. Woo! That's not good, but it's justified. So my thing about this Scream is that it was, like, if you like Scream movies, it was fine. You know, it's, you go into it, you're expecting, like, okay, there's going to be a twist, kind of like M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movies. You're always expecting a twist. It's either two killers or three killers, for the most part. Except yeah, for number three, that had one.
I was going to say, we had this conversation on the ride home as well. So we did. Scream 3 was the only one that had one.
Yeah, which is kind of the biggest twist of all, if you think about it.
Yeah, because that movie was trash.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I don't know. I kind of like them all for what they are. Scream 7, definitely not top of my list, though. Scream 1 is top of my list.
Mm-hmm.
I actually loved Scream 6, though. I thought Scream 6 was great with the three killers being a family, the family of killers.
It was nice, too, and the setting was nice, too, in New York.
Yes.
The subway stuff. Like that. Remember that initial scene in the subway?
Mm-hmm.
And there's several ghost faces on the train?
Yeah.
Yeah, that
great.
Was cool.
Yeah, I loved Scream 6. I thought that was like a breath of fresh air.
We'll have to go back because I know we reviewed that movie when it came out, 2 years ago?
Dude, we reviewed that movie and it was like almost a two-parter.
Because just ranting.
We were ranting for, I think, fucking an hour and a half about it. And it's like, I think, one of our longer episodes. But
that one got the shit added out of it, too. We should release that one as a director's cut one of these days.
Damn, dude, that's going to be like a two-hour cut. That's going to be like 120 screams or less.
We'll drop that one when we don't feel like working 1 week.
2 weeks, maybe. Shit. Split in half.
Yeah, there we go. We can eat up 2 weeks with that baby.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, God. You know what? I'm curious. How long was that episode? I remember it being a doozy. And I remember also being pretty proud of myself doing the same exact bullshit I did this time with the notes.
Yep, because we saw that one in theaters, too.
Yeah. I've been thinking a lot about this, Corey, about my memory and how my brain works. I think I need pure isolation to remember something fucking start to finish. Because think about it. There is zero distractions when I'm at the theater. There is the movie. Then there's darkness. There's no phone. And I'm not talking to anyone. I am just honed in on the movie. And that's why I can fucking come home and go, okay, let me go scene by scene in my head and write these notes down.
I know. It was like, we saw the movie at 6:30 at night on the night before it came out, last week?
Yeah.
Right? So 6:30, we were out of the movies by like 8-ish, right? Get home, you go home, and then you text me at like midnight, and all it says is I did it again. I fire up the Google Keep, and I'm like, this guy needs one of those tweet longer things.
Yeah. Oh, one of those accounts?
Yeah.
I just give up the whole spoiler, the whole movie start to finish. I just post it online.
Yeah, if the audience can see what is on our screen right now. For context, Steve always makes these jokes when we record about how my notes could fit into a Twitter post.
Mm-hmm.
Steve needs to make like 20 Twitter posts for all of these notes.
I'm kind of like...
You wrote the script down, actually.
I basically wrote the script down. It's fucking ridiculous. I don't want to say it's my masterpiece, but it's definitely one I'm pretty proud of.
When this podcast ends one day, we're going to print that out, and it's going to be a relic for someone. They're going to want it. We're going to sign it.
Yep, we'll sign it. Yeah, we'll sign it, and I don't know, sell it.
This podcast isn't ending, by the way.
No, I'm too stubborn to let it fucking end.
Hey, Steve won't let me quit. It's not ending.
Yeah, no, it's in your contract. You're fucking, you did your blood thing, whatever, like your thumb, and you're stuck.
I've tried.
Yeah, I know you tried. You tried many of times, and I said, well, we're recording tonight, and you're like, okay.
Oh, bother. Okay. All right, let's talk about corn and occasionally a movie.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to see how long this Scream episode, Scream 6 episode was. I don't know when the hell we recorded it.
Well, look back to 2020.
Okay, Scream 6, 53 minutes, doozy. Okay, that's one of our longer ones. That was definitely exceeding 30 screams or less, and that's what it cut down. So... So we were probably ranting about that movie for a good hour and a half because we do that. We'll friggin' rant about a movie for probably 45 minutes to an hour. And then I'm stuck with the task of getting it down to like around 30 something minutes, maybe 30 minutes flat. So where are we? We were just talking deaths. We were talking about, we were talking about Scream 6, how it was one of the stronger of the franchise. Mm-hmm. Scream 7, lowest rated. So I got to figure out though, Corey, how much are we giving away on this?
I mean, they'll be able to figure out who the killers are the first 10 minutes of the movie, so we don't have to talk about it.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about it. You'll figure it out. I do like the approach they take with Matthew Lillard. I think it's an interesting approach considering the landscape these days. And you know what? I'm just going to give it away because it's not even a big twist. It's the fucking AI, like deep fake shit.
Yeah, and I like that they found a logical way to bring Stumacher back into the series because, yeah. I mean, we've been thinking for 30 years now that he's dead because he had a fucking TV dropped on his head, right?
Yeah.
Everybody, for literally every movie since then, has thought that he was going to appear in some capacity, but he never did. Everybody thought he was alive because we never saw him actually die.
He had a TV dropped on his head.
Right. He could have been fine. I mean, who knows? Maybe.
It was a CRT TV, though. It's not like your freaking screens these days, which are like, ow, that hurt. That's like 5 pounds. That one was like a solid, probably, like, she had to muscle that thing. It's probably fucking 60, 70 pounds being dropped straight on his head.
Yeah, and I mean, I appreciate the fact that they kind of didn't pander to the fans and just find a way to retcon Stumacher being alive. You know what I mean?
Mm.
They made him AI. However, there was that one scene towards the end when Sydney's in the house and all those TVs are on. Yep. And you see, like, you have several flashbacks. You mm-hmm. see Roman, Dewey, and Loomis's mom was there, right? Was that Billy's mom?
Yep.
That whole part was useless. It was just a way for the, like, it did nothing for the story. It was just a way for them to put those characters back on screen for like 30 seconds.
Good point.
So yeah, how many more times are we going to, like, Scream 8's obviously going to come. Are we going to get, how many more times are we going to get this? They're just going to peep you because they can use AI just to bring anyone back.
Yeah, I guess so. Who knows what they're going to fucking do in Scream 8? If there's going to be a Scream 8, I don't think there is.
No shot. Dude, this was a fucking commercial for Scream 8.
Oh, you think there's going to be a Scream 8?
100%, dude. Scream 7 was a fucking commercial for it. Set it up.
Yeah.
He's literally Sidney Prescott passing the torch over to her daughter.
Oh, okay. So you think Sydney's going to be an old woman, kind of like doomsday prepper, kind of like Jamie Lee Curtis?
I mean,
or
maybe.
Maury Strode, I should say.
I mean, Neve Campbell is like the original final girl, right?
One of the top final girls, but original final girl?
Who would you say is in comparison to Sidney Prescott?
Laurie
Who
Strode.
Is the... Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'd say Laurie Strode from Halloween.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean...
But she's already said she's never going to play that character. Like, she was done. She was never...
She doesn't need
to. She's dead. Isn't she... Didn't she die?
No.
Kills?
She should have.
That's right. She didn't. They threw fucking cult leader into a meat grinder, and that was the end of it.
No. The cult leader, he died, like, in their house or whatever, but Michael Myers actually got the shit kicked out of him by Laurie Strode, and then they dumped him into a meat grinder. If I had it my way, because Michael Myers is this like entity at this point who he can't be stopped and all this, if he was going into the meat grinder, he should have just pulled Laurie Strode in, end the fucking whole series with like an absolute gutting, and the daughter is then traumatized for the rest of her life, having seen the chaos caused by Michael Myers along with her mother being fucking shredded to pieces.
Yeah.
Close the loop.
But she has openly said she would never play Laurie Strode again.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Sidney Prescott hasn't, or Neve Campbell hasn't said that. She is Scream.
Yeah, she is.
Like, Scream 6 kind of suffered, I feel like. Without her, right? Okay. Obviously, we love Scream 6, but I feel like having Sidney Prescott in that would have made it so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed her for 7 because of all the things that happened with Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega. Like, they needed her. They needed to pay her to have her in Scream 7.
Yeah. I mean, what else would they have done? Got some random girl to lead Scream 7?
Right.
And it was like their hands were almost forced.
Yeah. And, like, I feel like I read that Scream 7 was completely reshot too, right?
Really? I didn't
either completely reshot or they had rewritten the original script, something. There was some bullshit because it wasn't going to happen.
A rewrite definitely sounds accurate because they probably had it in reshoots or whatever. They probably had it in their mind that Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega were going to be in Scream 7, but then all that shit happened with Barrera and then Ortega opting out, and now they're scrambling. Now they're like, okay, what can we do to make sure that we hook the fucking Scream fans back into the franchise without just introducing someone completely new? And that's when they're like, all right, let's shovel a shit ton of money at Neve Campbell. It was refreshing to see Neve Campbell come back into the Scream franchise. You know, she was missed. I mean, she hasn't been there since 4, right?
No, she was in 1 through 5.
She was in 5. Okay.
She's been in all of them except 6, I believe. Because they refused to pay her for the 6th movie, so she sat out.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. She was in Scream 5. I actually enjoyed the end of Scream 5, too. So, yeah, you're right. For some reason, I was thinking that she wasn't part of Scream 5. I don't know why. But I actually do enjoy that ending and the twist. 6 was also a great ending. But 7's ending, I sat there and went... You have to, like, watch this episode to see my face. So for anyone that's listening, go on YouTube and see my confused as fuck face as I see this unveiling. Just
confused as fuck face.
Confused as fuck face.
Fuck pause face.
Yeah. Confused as fuck pause face.
Not Steve fuck face.
No, not Steve fuck face. Oh, geez. Okay. So, I mean, what else can we really talk about? I like some of the kills. It was good hearing the classic Scream music come back into play.
Yeah, that Nick Cave song.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like they got to get that. It has to be in every Scream movie.
It has to be. It's almost a requirement.
Yeah.
So it was really cool to hear that implemented back into Scream. And acting was good. Other than that, I think it just could have been stronger. There could have been changes made to this movie that would have made it a little stronger, I'm sure. But it seems like they just really penciled it in on the twist at the end, and they could have done better. But I don't hate it by any means. I just, I had expectations. I don't go in expecting, like, a fucking amazing masterpiece of a movie. I'm expecting to see a good Scream movie, a good slasher with a nice little twist, with good storytelling, because I felt that Scream's always been really good with storytelling and leading the audience. And this one was fine. And I think I think we can just get into it at this point. Corey, what do you give Scream 7?
Oh boy.
Stop me.
All right. This gets a 2 out of 5. This didn't feel like a celebration. It felt like a franchise maintenance to pass the torch to Tatum, like we're doing routine Ghostface oil changes until the next sequel drops in 18 months.
I love that. Ghostface oil changes. Woo, there's our clip. So fucking silly. I love that. Go ahead.
The whole movie plays like a stepping stone, not a statement. And for a 30-year milestone entry, that's wild. We didn't even talk about this. The disrespect towards Roger Jackson. Unforgivable. His voice is Ghostface. Mm-hmm. It's horror royalty. And they treat it like a cameo you almost miss in this. You don't get a lot of talking with Ghostface.
No, you're right.
When you sideline one of the most iconic voices in the entire genre, don't be shocked when I'm furious. Mm-hmm. Completely inexcusable. This should have been a legacy-defining moment. Again, 30-year anniversary. Instead, it feels like a filler episode with better marketing.
Woo. Damn. Yeah, a lot of marketing went into this
thoughts.
One. Yeah, you have thoughts for sure. Holy shit. So I was not as upset by it, but I was still like, meh. So I'm going to go with a 3 out of 5 on this one. Scream 7 is an entertaining watch, but far from one of the series' stronger entries. The reveal of the killers felt a bit muddled, with motivations that never fully come together. Even the opening scene, while effective on its own, ultimately feels unnecessary to the larger story. That said, the film does have its highlights. Bringing back characters from Scream 6 helps tie the newer installments together, and the score delivers, especially with the welcome return of Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds' Red Right Hand. While Scream 7 sometimes feels like a franchise extension that didn't strictly need to exist, longtime Scream fans will likely find enough here to enjoy. If you want to check out Scream 7, go to the movies. All right, everyone, help out our algorithm by liking, following, and subscribing to us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, YouTube, and Slasher. Yes, all of them. No, we're not sorry.
Leave us a 5-star review on every podcast platform you use so strangers can also regret listening to us. Tell your friends, too, because misery loves company.
Our intro and outro music is courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Go listen to him on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to buy it immediately like a responsible adult.
We're part of the Shining Wizards Network. Wrestling, heavy metal, horror, basically everything your parents warned you about. Go check them out at shiningwizardsnetwork.com.
Visit 30screamsorless.com to buy some merch.
Want us to review something? Contact us through our website or scream into the void on social media. Same difference.
Also, freshen up your face with Beard Octane and save some money while you're at it. Be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout to save 10% off your order, because your beard deserves better than neglect and regret. Smell good, look alive, and scare people for the right reasons. I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.